Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, The Batman, Ultrasound, and Lucy and Desi. But because The Batman tickles me so much, I would like to add the to the other film titles. May I? No, I didn't think so. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Jill. No thanks for your meddling with the titles. I'm doing great. I am actually down this week in Columbia, South Carolina, which is really quite a lovely city, where we are just taking a bit of a hiatus during spring break from our usual digs. And I have, however, as always, I've been thinking about the movies with one part of my all-too-cramped little mind. And, I got three films again this week, and they are, as so often happens, very, very, very different from each other. So let us begin with The Batman, and that is the title. As I think all the world knows, this movie is having the daylights promoted out of it. The Batman. Odd title, it really is. But anyway, that's what it is. And this was co-written and directed by Matt Reeves, who is a good and interesting filmmaker who I've been really dealing with for a while. And not all of his films are to my taste at all. He made this sort of somewhat innovative horror movie called Cloverfield many years ago, and he made a couple of Planet of the Apes movies that did not interest me at all. But he also made a movie called Let Me In, which is a vampire movie. It is a remake of an excellent Swedish vampire movie called Let the Right One In, and Reeves's version called Let Me In is just as excellent as the Swedish original. That rarely happens, and so that was one of the early things that clued me in that Matt Reeves is, in fact, a very talented filmmaker. So now Matt Reeves moves over into the superhero department and makes a Batman movie. And there have been, of course, so many Batman movies. A little film history here. Some pretty major directors have tackled Batman over the years. Some really minor directors have tackled Batman as well. Tim Burton, of course, made more than one Batman movie. Joel Schumacher got into the field. Christopher Nolan made a trilogy. And personally, I feel, except for the first Tim Burton movie, I feel that most of these have been very overrated by fans of the superhero genre. I have not found most of them to be all that brilliant. I really looked very carefully, for example, at the Chris Nolan Batman movies, and they have their admirers, and people think Nolan is a great genius of the screen and all that. And to me, they're kind of interesting, but they're mainly just superhero movies. And there's been enough of those over the years. Also, I didn't much like Joker, which was quite recent and sort of a Batman spinoff movie, because I didn't like its treatment of New York and its sort of dark and grungy and horrible look at a city, which I really love. So anyway, that was that part of it. But now we have another movie that really does very much exactly that, because what interested me about going to see The Batman, the new movie by Matt Reeves, is that everybody was, or I got around to seeing it, about how incredibly dark it is and how incredibly morbid it is and how incredibly gloomy a view of modern urban life it presents. And it seemed to be so extreme in the eyes of many people that I thought, well, now that sounds interesting. It sounds like maybe it's a bit different. Yes, some of the others, most notably Joker, have presented very dark, negative, pessimistic views of urban life. But this one sounded like it might be more interestingly extreme than even some of those. So I went off to see it. And yep, I have to say, it sure is dark. It sure is pessimistic. It sure is even morbid in its view of city life. And again, that's not a theme that I love all that much, but it's interestingly done. And Reeves piles it on and managed to come up with some somewhat original takes on all this. Also, the other thing that is getting a lot of attention with The Batman is the cast, headed by Robert Pattinson as the Batman and his secret identity, or his non-secret identity, as Bruce Wayne. And I personally have never quite gotten the point of Robert Pattinson. Everyone seems to find him this absolute heartthrob and this magnificent screen personage. And again, I just don't get it. He doesn't click with me. Every time I see him, it's kind of, oh yeah, there's Robert Pattinson. Okay, I was more impressed with some of the supporting players in the Batman. Jeffrey Wright is his usual interesting self as Lieutenant James Gordon. Colin Farrell is really something as the Penguin. You really can't tell that it's Colin Farrell, so that's kind of interesting. John Turturro is always good. Well, that's not true, but almost always good, and he is just fine as a mob boss. Peter Sarsgaard is his usual self as the sort of semi-amiable self as a district attorney. I have to mention Zoe Kravitz. Again, I wasn't too pleased with how she came off in this movie as Selina Kyle. She's sort of okay, but, you know, she's one of the few women in this male-dominated story, and I thought she made an impression at least. And best of all, I like Paul Dano, who shows up in the last part of the movie as the Riddler. Now, a famous thing about this movie, The Batman, is that it is just a squeak under 3 hours long. And no, there is absolutely no reason why it should be that long. This is really crazy. As I saw somebody say online recently, attention spans are supposed to be so short these days, so why are movies getting longer and longer? Anyway, there is no reason why I think probably any Batman movie, and certainly The Batman, no reason why it should be about 3 hours long. However, for me, it did come alive most in that last hour because Paul Dano shows up as the Riddler. The Riddler is the main villain of this movie, and the Batman spends pretty much the whole film trying to chase down the Riddler, who is this very mysterious character, of course. We finally get to spend some time with the Riddler in the last hour of the movie, and again, Paul Dano was very, very good there, so he's just a good actor, and I had a good time with that part of the movie. So the basic bottom line on the Batman is it's way too long. It has a pretty good cast, especially the supporting cast, especially Paul Dano. It has an interestingly dark view of the city, and it is certainly pretty radical in its violence. Oh, it has a lot of very nasty stuff in it. But that is what you want from a superhero movie, then you will have a good time with this superhero movie. So I think that one would say about The Batman, it's certainly not great, but it is good of its kind. Turning to another movie, which is very, very dark, but is very, very different because it's a very sort of small production with only a few real characters and not many settings and all of that. A movie called Ultrasound, which is sort of a sci-fi horror movie, directed by Rob Schroeder. And it has sort of a fairly standard sort of science fiction theme to it. It's about the perils of technology and the perils of mind control technology and all of this. But it's interestingly worked out. Not my favorite kind of movie. I do like horror movies, and I do like some science fiction movies. But this one is reasonably well worked out. So here is what we have. We have a young man who is driving along in his car, and his car gets sabotaged. Somebody has set out some horrible-looking spikes in the road. It's late at night. He runs over the spikes. His car is disabled. He goes to a house nearby, says, oh, I need some help because my car broke down. And they say, well, it's too late to get you to the nearest gas station because it's a long way away, but you can spend the night here. And the next thing you know, the rather peculiar man who seems to own this house is enticing the young driver to go into his wife's bedroom and perhaps get into bed with his wife and maybe take things from there, which sounds very, very strange and suspicious to the young man himself, but that is sort of what ends up happening. And the whole movie unfolds from there. The young man, his name is Glenn, spends the night with the young woman, whose name is Cindy, at the behest of her husband, whose name is Art. And then next thing you know, he's back home again, and then Art, that is the husband, shows up at his house, very much upsetting him. What are you doing here? And it turns out that all of this is part of a really, really elaborate plot, which is really involved with scientific research. And the research is into some sort of mind-altering or mind-controlling technology. And Glenn, our young driver, whose car was sabotaged early in the film, is an unwitting participant in this research, has no idea what's going on. And the research is obviously very, very sinister, although the people conducting the research are claiming that it's all for the ultimate good of mankind. And you know how that sort of thing goes in horror movies. So the thing about Ultrasound is that it develops the story in sort of chunks. and we're moving from one location to another and from one set of characters to another. And little by little, you have to put the pieces together in your own mind. I think by the time it's over, and this movie, unlike The Batman, is only about an hour and a half long, by the time it's over, pretty much everything has fallen into place and pretty much everything makes sense if you've been paying attention. And whether you find it interesting enough to pay attention to is going to be up to every individual viewer. I found that the movie had enough good acting and enough interesting twists and turns and enough interesting puzzles to keep me engaged most of the way through, so I had a pretty good time watching it. My main reason for being interested in it before it started was that the main character, Glenn, is played by Vincent Kartheiser, who played the character Pete in Mad Men. And I have always just had great affection for that character, and I always enjoy seeing Vincent Kartheiser. Vincent Kartheiser, a pretty darn good actor, and he does a nice job in this very modestly produced little sci-fi horror movie. So if you like modestly produced sci-fi horror movies that make you sort of put your thinking cap on and put the pieces together, then you'll probably enjoy Ultrasound. I found it fairly clever. And our final film today, Jill, is the most straightforward one of the bunch. It's a documentary, and it's called Lucy and Desi, and it was directed by Amy Poehler, who, of course, is best known as a performer and comedian and actor, but she also does a little bit of movie directing now and then. And this is simply a very straightforward documentary about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz and their place in television history and how they rose up to become stars and the story of their lives. And I found it, well, look, as a documentary about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, it's very superficial, it's very glossy, it's very slickly produced. It just sort of puts all this stuff on the screen in a very appealing way with a lot of narration that, you know, sort of lays everything out for you step by step, and that's all very nice. But as a sort of a glimpse at early television history, I found it really, really interesting. They came along in the first great golden age of the sitcom back in the 1950s, and of course became gigantic stars when the television scene, when the mass media scene was so drastically, radically, incredibly different from what it is now. And I'm just always interested in seeing, getting these little glimpses as the way it used to be back when I was a very, very young kid. Now, we recently had the movie Being the Ricardos, which is a fiction film about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, starring Nicole Kidman as Lucille Ball. Pretty good movie, not bad, made by Aaron Sorkin. And I found that movie to be rather cloying in the way it was sort of always reaching out to grab the audience's affection. Lucy and Desi, in its documentary way, does the same kind of thing. But again, I found it, you know, fairly engrossing most of the way through, although I wish that it were a bit less sort of slickly produced. So we get a whole lot of views of Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz in their early TV show, their great I Love Lucy show, and a little bit later on in later projects they were in. But better than that, we get glimpses of their earlier lives. We see how Desi Arnaz emigrated to the United States from Cuba, never lost his love for Cuba, never lost his sense that Cuba was a lost paradise, which he was so sorry he had to move away from, even though he was very poor when he got to America and was cleaning canary cages for a while and that kind of thing, but saw America as the land of opportunity where he was able to not only make something of himself, but rise to the top of a very prominent profession. And we see how he accomplished that partly through music and partly through his tremendous abilities as a producer, which came to the fore when he really got involved with television. And we see how Lucille Ball really wanted to get into show business and rose up from the bottom and became, of course, a huge star. And along the way, there's quite a lot of narration from some tapes that the real Lucille Ball made. A lot of that is on the soundtrack, and we have commentary from people like Carol Burnett and Norman Lear and the juniors of the family. So it's a very, very nicely done documentary. Bette Midler comes in there to talk about it for a while. So it's basically just a big tribute film, and everything is about how Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz were giants in their field, which they were, and they rose up from very little at the beginning, which they did, and I really did enjoy watching it. So if you have any interest in American showbiz, in American television, and an American celebrity, then Lucy and Desi is widely streaming and is a movie that you should catch up with. It's a perfectly entertaining, if not very clever or original, documentary. And that is my varied story this week, Jill.
Varied it is. And we thank you, The David Sterrett, Films in Focus, The Films, The Batman, Ultrasound, and Lucy and Desi.